I don't think it's any secret to those of you in this room that on June 15th, a rebellion of the poor took place outside of Queen's Park. And in the aftermath of that rebellion, there was a full-scale campaign by the police, the Crown, the media, and so on, to vilify the organization which had called that action, OCAP. And one of the wonderful things about working in much of the left in this city in the months after June 15th has been the solidarity campaign that people have brought together, as a result of which we can have John Clark speak to us this afternoon without having every member of OCAP wearing a sign saying, "I am not associating with John." This is something which we've managed to strike down for all of the executive members of OCAP that were arrested. And so, here to associate with all of us, John Clark.
Thank you very, very much. I think in terms of this conference and the tasks that are posed, one of the most critical questions that comes up is how we can begin to challenge the incredible sense of passivity and inevitability that exists certainly in the leaderships of most working class organizations in this country and beyond in the face of the agenda of global capitalism. That is the central question, because struggles break out everywhere, but we have this problem of a refusal to face up to a decisive confrontation with anything that corresponds to the determination with which we are being attacked by the bastards on the other side. And that is produced a crisis. Now, I don't want to talk primarily about the nature of the structure of a movement that can emerge in some organizational sense. I want to talk about what I think are the real political tasks that are posed by this situation. A great deal has been said about anti-capitalism. And I think anti-capitalism is fundamental to what must emerge and what must take place. Not in the sense that that we need to grapple with abstract ideas or write a party manifesto, but in this simple sense, is that how are you going to inspire people to fight? And how are you going to challenge this sense of, as Margaret Thatcher put it, there is no alternative, if you don't advance a clear perspective of fighting against the whole system? Because if the neoliberals are right and Keynesianism is dead and the post-war settlement no longer has any material basis, what do you have to argue with when they cut programs, when they take away rights, when they attack us, and when they build more and more authoritarian forms of rule? You have nothing. You have to be prepared to challenge the system itself, or you simply can't move forward. But in saying that, I don't want to let any abstract theorists off the hook, because it isn't a question of just advancing some nebulous notion of anti-capitalism. Anti-capitalism means fighting capitalism, and it means fighting the agents of capitalism with every living breath that you've got. So if a movement emerges, the challenge facing that movement is to influence the course of events in the direction of decisive class struggle in very, very concrete ways. I'll give a couple of examples. At the moment, QP3903 is facing a very, very serious challenge. The attack is not just coming from York University, it's coming from the province of Ontario, the government at the highest levels. And the picket lines at the moment are very effective, but I think it's not to say anything that's particularly surprising if we were to say that that is going to be challenged, that there will be a drive to bust through those picket lines, that there will be an attack that comes down on any attempt to effectively maintain picket lines at York University. And if that's the case, maybe I'm being unfair to the established leaderships that exist at the moment, but I rather doubt that there is a clear plan of action to mobilise the working class community and the broadest sections of society to defend QP 3903. And why isn't there? And there damn well should be. And there needs to be an organisation of militants, of activists, within that local and beyond, who have such a plan, who have such a plan to mobilise mass picketing, who have a plan to take the flying picketing actions elsewhere necessary, all the things that would be done to effectively challenge an attack on QP 3903. And using that as an example, let me say that during the Ontario Days of Action, had there been a force that could really advance a clear perspective of what it would take to bring that movement to victory, not to put on what Harris called a good show, but to bring it to victory, then we might not be sitting here in this present situation of malaise. And let me also speak specifically about OCAP. And I know the dogmatists would say that the movement has to, you know, the poor and the homeless are a relatively weak section of the working class, and I know all the arguments. But the reality is, while I don't deny for a moment the centrality of the organised working class and the working class as a producing class, it is nonetheless true that for whatever reason, at the moment, our organisation has been able to give a lead. Perhaps because we do represent people who are so fundamentally desperate, but we've been able to give a lead, and I think that's enormously important. June 15th has been mentioned, and there has been vast support and vast enthusiasm around June 15th. But that's fundamentally because it posed the question that you can fight to win. You can do more than go through this perennial game of bleating, mute protest out against people who don't care anyway about what you're saying. You can actually take them on, you can shake them, and you can challenge them. You know, people have... You know, very kind, well-meaning people have said that those cops attacked people and it was an awful thing and people were passive in the face of it and things like that. Well, the cops initiated the confrontation. There's no question about that. When we go to trial, we'll make that case very clearly. But let me also make very clear about June 15th that we weren't striking up the second chorus of blowing in the wind when they suddenly came and attacked us. There was a situation where a mass of people who had a sense of nothing to lose went to confront a reactionary government with everything they had. And the head of the riot squad said that the people that his officers were up against created a situation where many of them want to quit. And he furthermore said that it was as if... He furthermore said that it was as if they didn't feel the blows. Now, there's something I think historically quite profound about that statement, because it's an axiom of history that when people start to lose their fear of the policeman's billy club, something very fundamental is taking place in society. And that's what potentially is starting to emerge now, a mood of resistance and defiance that I say we can build upon. Now, OCAP is preparing a next step. I've mentioned it, and others in OCAP have mentioned it throughout this conference. And I think it's something that would be very, very important and something that any initiative that emerges here should give very serious consideration to. As the next step, we're going to organise another move against the Harris government, but this time it won't be something that they can deal with the riot squad at Queen's Park. We're going to organise a provincial tour. We're going to go to cities across the province, and we're going to say to unions, and we're going to say to social movements, we're going to say to native communities, we're going to say to people everywhere, that we want you to join us next year in an action of organised, planned, systematic economic disruption against the Harris government. And we'll throw at them whatever we can. If we have the strike weapon in our hands, we'll use it. But we'll also use blockades, we'll use takeovers, we'll use whatever measures bring economic and political pain to these people and make them squirm. That's really the goal that we're setting ourselves. Whether that will be the decisive knockout blow or whether it will point the way forward to another round of struggle beyond, we don't know. We'll see when we get there. But by God, our perspective is to move forward, and we're saying to all segments of the working class, all the popular sector organisations, we appeal to you to join us, to join us in this fight. And if anybody in this room doesn't believe that it's possible to organise a movement in the province of Ontario that can defeat the Harris government, then why are we here talking about anti-capitalism? Now, I'd just like to say that this is no longer a game. The agenda of global capital, at the point which they decided to abandon their post-war deal, their post-war settlement, and move into the attack, has been going on for perhaps 20 years. The rampant inequality, suffering and misery, the loss of rights and previous gains that have been inflicted on us is already at a very, very critical level, but clearly they're poised to go much further. The homeless in Toronto, 35 deaths have been accounted for this year on the streets of Toronto. The crackdown on the homeless by the police is at unimaginable levels. When I was in the Don jail following the June 15th thing, I met a jail guard, and we may recognise that he has a union card in his pocket, but I don't think we would say jail guards are fundamentally, let's say some debate would exist around their proletarian credentials. So I but in any event, this man, a jail guard, told me that he has seen in the last while a rampant increase in homeless and poor people being brought into that jail who are the victims of the most horrendous kinds of police assault. He told me he'd seen one man in the last couple of weeks with his eye taken out following a beating by the police, and he told me he had seen another man who had been sodomized with a nightstick by the 51 Division. That is the kind of reality that's being rammed down people's throats here in what Jean Chrétien tells us is the best country in the world. And if this is the best, we must consider what they're dishing out in the worst. If that's the reality that you're confronting, and when you see people who are prepared to do that to other human beings, and when you see a system that is prepared to do that, I say, doesn't it make you want to grab those bastards by the throat? That's how it makes me feel. I mean, you know, you CDers out there live a little bit. Doesn't it want to make you grab them by the throat? Because it certainly does me. So we're poised, I think, potentially to move forward with great force. There's been huge interest here. It's obvious that there's a real mood out there. And this reflects it. But there's no guarantee that the people in this room are going to be relevant to that mood. And that's the decisive reality. If we're going to be relevant as anti-capitalists in the present situation, there is only one thing that can make it so, is if we're as bold and decisive as the situation demands. And if we're ready to move forward on that serious basis, lead a real fight, there's absolutely no question that there will be huge support. There is a desperate need to turn the situation around. There is a need to confront conservative leaderships. There is a need to organise militants and activists to demand, to give leads, to take initiatives, to do the things necessary to ensure that we take up the class struggle with the same enthusiasm as Mike Harris is taking up the class struggle against us. And if we do that, there is absolutely no question that we will win a following on an enormous scale. So if we are ready to move forward on that basis, then let's get organised and let's start moving forward. Thank you very much.